Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Notice verse 16. And reading down from there, Jesus Christ said, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation?" That is the generation of those that saw him in his earthly ministry. "Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking. They say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.'" Tonight what we want to talk about is the last part of the statement there in verse 19, "a friend of publicans and sinners." Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us tonight with our study. Milton Everett, would you pray for us, please? Amen, amen. Now, this statement that you read here, "They say the Son of Man came eating and drinking," as opposed to John, who was spending more time fasting, "and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." You can tell from the context that the statement being made about the Lord Jesus Christ is a derogatory statement. They're not complimenting him when they say he is a friend of publicans and sinners, because they're including that statement with he is a man gluttonous and a winebibber. Now, this is being stated by Pharisees who wouldn't have anything to do with sinners anyway, and Pharisees who wouldn't have anything to do with publicans anyway. This generation that saw Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry accused him of doing these things, as if that was a bad thing, because he ate with publicans and sinners. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. We're gonna keep our Bibles open and see quite a bit about this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Luke chapter 5. And look at verse 27. "In fact, he did eat with publicans and sinners." Luke chapter 5, verse 27. "After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi," we also call him Matthew, "sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" See, Pharisees wouldn't have anything to do with these guys. But Jesus Christ would. And so when they said, "a friend of publicans and sinners," it was a derogatory statement, but it was not a statement that was untrue. The fact that they said he was a winebibber and a glutton was untrue, but the fact that they said he was a friend of publicans and sinners was not untrue. It was actually the truth. He did this. As a matter of fact, Levi is one that followed him when the Lord asked him to do that. Now, what were publicans? Well, they're not the opposite of Democrats. Publicans are like public officials. A publican. They were public officials, and they were men typically that were in positions like tax collectors, and men like Levi who were like customs agents, men who dealt with financial affairs regarding their public offices. And because they were dealing with finances, these men were in positions whereby they could use their influence or their offices to get a little money for themselves, to exact more than was appointed to them. Look in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. "Some publicans came when John the Baptist was baptizing, And in Luke chapter 3, soldiers came. They said, what should we do? And he told them. And then in verse 12, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, they're speaking to John the Baptist, what should we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. So they would say to him, George Parr, you need to amend your ways. Some of you have been around here long enough to know who that was, but he was down in Duval County, and you would take an envelope to pay your publicly assessed taxes, and you'd take another envelope, and that was for him. and he benefited and profited personally from the office that he held. And so a publican was that kind of person. As a result, obviously they were despised. Even if a tax collector today is a nice guy, I don't think you're going to like him, because he ends up with some of your hard-earned money. Okay? Now, you're going to see as we go through the scripture that publicans were grouped together with or classified with harlots in a passage about going into the kingdom of God. And although sometimes they're classified with harlots, Jesus nevertheless would eat with them. Okay? They're people that others didn't want to associate with. Now, Jesus Christ, when he was here in his earthly ministry, had a very effective ministry with publicans and sinners because he knew their spiritual need. Go back to Luke chapter 5. The question was raised in Luke chapter 5. We didn't answer it. Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? That's verse 30. That question was raised. Why do you do that? Luke chapter 5, verse 30. And Jesus answered the question. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus had a very effective ministry with them because he knew their spiritual condition. He knew their spiritual need. They were sinners in need of a Savior. They were sick spiritually. And so that's why he spent time with them. And some of them in that New Testament, while Jesus Christ was here on the earth, were saved. For instance, go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Or we'll go to Matthew chapter 9 first, I suppose. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Notice, Levi is the name that Luke gave to Matthew when Jesus passed by. Look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. So that becomes one of his disciples. Now look in Matthew chapter 10 at verse 3, where the 12 disciples are being named. Their names start in verse 2, but look at verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican. See? So Matthew was a publican, and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ obviously had an effect on him, because this man turned from whatever he was doing and became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at another one that's very famous. Go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19. Go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19, another famous publican. You might not have known from your memory that this man was a publican, because that's not the most outstanding characteristic of him. This man was a short man. This fellow's name is Zacchaeus, and that's what you normally remember him for. But notice in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man, in verse 2, named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. Now, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little of stature. That's what you remember about. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, I think is what they say when they sing the song about him. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So he certainly had a good effect with the publican Matthew. He also had a very good effect, an effective ministry. Salvation came to Zacchaeus, who was a publican. So, as a result of his ministering to these folks that the Pharisees wouldn't have anything to do with, Jesus Christ was able to bring salvation to publicans and sinners, to harlots. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We're just going through and looking at these cross references to notice the effect of his ministry. Matthew chapter 21, look at verses 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 21, verses 31 and 32. Jesus Christ has talked about two sons. I guess we'll look in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 21. A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said, Likewise. He answered and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto him, Verily, I say unto you, watch it, that the publicans and the harlots, see how they're classified together? Go into the kingdom of God before you, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So Jesus was not ashamed to be associated with these men, even though it was an accusation, a derogatory accusation leveled at him by the Pharisees, because he had an effective ministry with them. They had a spiritual need, and he wasn't ashamed to be associated with them so that he could bring them into the kingdom of God. So, like I said, it was untrue that he was a wine bibber and a glutton, but not untrue that he ate with sinners and publicans. Now you say, well, what is all this? Why are we looking at this? Well, it's very simple. What can we learn about being a friend of publicans and sinners based upon the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a friend of publicans and sinners? And you understand something. Your best friends on earth are in this building for most of you. At least if they're not here now, they were here this morning. I mean, that's just the way it is. We get saved, we get associated, we start having fellowship, and the next thing you know, you look around here and you want to eat together and you want to spend time together, and rightly so, that's what we do. But what we have to remember is there's still some folks that are publicans and sinners. And it's not, as Jesus Christ showed us in his earthly ministry, inappropriate to make a friend of a publican and a sinner for the sake of having an effective ministry with somebody that doesn't know the Lord. What do we learn about being a friend of publicans and sinners? Well, first of all, we learn this. Not all publicans are despised. Not all publicans are despised. The Pharisees looked at them and said, this bunch of bad guys, those are sinners, they run around with harlots, you know, we don't like them. But when you start thinking in your mind, well, do I know a publican? Yeah, you probably do know a publican. When you think of it in terms of this context, because not all of them are despised people. Look in Matthew chapter 5 at verses 46. And 47. In Matthew chapter 5, look in verses 46 and 47. And notice what the Lord says about publicans in this passage. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, If you love them which love you, he's talking to his disciples now, or to the Jews that are listening to him, on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? What's he saying to you? In the context of our discussion tonight, publicans do actually have people they love, and publicans do actually have people that love them. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Publicans do that. So that's not a person that's despised. And notice also he says, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans. So they salute people. They can be genuinely good fellows. Some are loved and love their friends. Some salute those that salute them. They don't have to be bad people. Some are even rich and have many friends. When Zacchaeus got saved, the Bible even points out that man was a rich man. When Levi was at the receipt of custom and Jesus Christ went to eat with him, he threw, the Bible says, a great feast and many came to his house. Sometimes we get the idea that the only people we can really deal with are the down and outers, and that just, it's obvious that they need Jesus and we can lead them to the Lord, and that's about as far as you can go with it. But that's not the case at all. The funny thing was when the, you know, the Brad and Deborah Wells, you know who that is? When they came off the field of Papua New Guinea and moved to Washington, D.C., they're in a suburb there right out, you know, within 20 minutes of the Capitol. And through gentrification, that entire neighborhood or area where they, suburb where they are, has been totally redone with new housing and everything like that. And there are a lot of professionals that live in those neighborhoods there that work in Washington, D.C., and they are in banking and politics and federal government, all kinds of jobs like that. You know what they are? A bunch of publicans. And when Deborah, Papua New Guinea, if you don't know this, the folks in Papua New Guinea are all black. So when Deborah came to Washington, D.C., and they were in the area of the Capitol, she would see homeless guys on the street. And because they had the same skin color of the people they were dealing with in Papua New Guinea, she said, my heart went out to them. But what she was also saying is, my heart really didn't go out to all of my neighbors. And it's not that she was callous to him. She hadn't been working around people like those publicans and sinners inhabiting that neighborhood, because that in the field they'd been on. And what the Lord was having to do in her heart and in Brad's heart was to convince them, those folks in the neighborhood where you're living, those are folks that you need to go talk to about Jesus. And they're common, ordinary folks. But I'm going to tell you something. Good old boys that love, you know, their friends and their friends love them and salute their friends and their friends salute them. Hey, without Christ, they are still sinners in need of a Savior, and you and I need to recognize that. They may be nice guys, they may be going to church, but if they don't have Jesus Christ, their eternity is going to be an eternity in hell. So the first thing we need to recognize is that not all of them are despised, but just because they're not despised doesn't mean that they're all right with Christ. They need Jesus. The second thing we notice from the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. Most publicans will accept an invitation to visit with you. Now, when you just go out, fishers of men, with a Bible, and you go out with an invitation to a Resurrection Day Sunday here at this church and knock on somebody's door like in the middle of the afternoon, you may not get a very good reception with that. I mean, people are not as neighborly as they used to be. And people like their privacy, and people spend more time communicating with each other on phones and computers. I mean, listen, you're living in a generation that's closed off. When dad's been working all day at his office and mom's been working all day at her office, and they meet somewhere for supper and both of them are looking down like this and not talking to each other, you're in a different generation now. It's not necessarily true that the people's door that you knocked on are offended that you came. They just don't want to talk to you. And it may be they've already had some Mormons and JWs down there. Now, some of them are offended you came. Bless God, I don't want you on a boom, you know. But for the most part, you don't get run off that harshly. It's just people are more private now. However, you don't want to frame all of your opinion about dealing with somebody that's lost based upon how they greet you at a door on a Sunday afternoon or a Tuesday evening. You run into folks that you know that are more neighborly than that, and most publicans will accept an invitation to visit with you. Particularly if you offer to buy them a meal or fix them a meal. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Just because these guys are sinners, we're not talking about bad people. And just because these guys are in something professional that's different than you, or they're involved in some sort of a government position that's not like you, doesn't mean that they won't associate with you. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Well, they gladly sat down with him. And they'll gladly sit down with you. I mean, really, much good work has been done for the Lord over the dinner table. You have somebody in your home, talk to them about the Lord, that's a good place to talk with them. Where are they going to go? Particularly if you have a good dessert waiting for them after the meal. And coffee. If you go out to a restaurant and it's quiet enough where you can hear each other talk and you carry on a conversation, hey, they appreciate that. Listen, in the business world, they talk about business lunches. A lot of business development takes place over a meal. And listen, if it works well in the business world, it doesn't mean that you have to adopt their technique. I'm just telling you, Jesus Christ did the same thing in his earthly ministry, and it was effective for him. He told Zacchaeus, I'm going to go eat with you today. They sat down and had a meal, and in the middle of the meal, whatever the conversation was, Zacchaeus got up, stood up, and said, hey, I'm giving back fourfold of anything I took, and I'm giving money, half my money to the poor. It had an effect. Same thing at Matthew's house. So we should not be afraid to eat with sinners, just like Jesus did. Shouldn't be afraid to do that at all. For the simple reason that during that time, you're not standing on their front porch. The ball game is not on the television. They weren't trying to take a nap. It was something that it was arranged. It wasn't something that you intruded on. Y'all came to an agreement that this was a good thing to do and decided to meet somewhere. You see how so much of the friction and ice is removed over a meal. That's why I believe why Jesus Christ did that. Of course, he had to eat, and so do you. You say, well, I don't like to go out to eat. Good. Then wherever you go, take two sandwiches and offer one to your coworker. And y'all sit down in the coffee bar and talk. Now, I'm not purposely giving you personal illustrations here because this is not about me or how I've done things, but I'll just tell you over the years, even when we were back in the banking business, a lot of good work was done for the Lord at mealtime. And I believe that's what Jesus took advantage of that. All right, the next thing to notice is this. Befriending publicans. People say, well, make no friendship with the world. You know, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Yeah, be you separate and come out from among them, saith the Lord. Okay? I understand that. But may I tell you something? Listen, befriending a publican won't defile you. Jesus Christ ate with them. Right? So much so that the Pharisees could point out that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And we see several occasions in his ministry where this happened. And you know, not everything that he ever did was recorded here. If the instances that are mentioned here are indicative, he did this a lot. But may I tell you something? The Bible says about Jesus Christ, Jesus knew no sin. The Bible says Jesus did no sin. The Bible says Jesus was tempted like us, yet without sin. So befriending a publican won't defile you. It won't hurt you. You know, it's not like the other separation. Listen, if you adopt something by befriending a publican that he does, for instance, let's say you like singing hymns and all of a sudden you hang around a publican and he's listening to the wrong kind of music and you start listening to the wrong kind of music, that's where separation governs what to do. You don't want to pick up bad habits. You may be at the table and he may be using foul language and you're talking about Jesus. Well, you don't want to start using foul language just because he does or she does. That's when it becomes a problem. But other than that, hey, you don't have to pick up their ways. You're there to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And so befriending a publican or sinner won't defile you. You have an opportunity to look past their earthly ways and their earthly language and their earthly desires to start introducing them to something else, Jesus Christ and His ways and His desires and His words. It's a great opportunity for you to teach somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something else in Matthew chapter 11. That was our text when we started this evening in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Let me show you something else. This is interesting. They say, and it's, you see this same phrase repeated several times in the Bible, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber. Watch it. A friend of publicans and sinners. Often when you read the word publican, you read publicans and sinners. Or publicans and harlots. Okay? Now listen. This is very important. Most publicans already know that they're sinners. Don't you know that a hard part of dealing with somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ is convincing them that they need Jesus? You talk to somebody who is a religious Pharisee, who's already all right because he goes to church and he's, maybe he's something, somebody in his church, or he goes all the time, or whatever the case may be. He has already convinced himself that he's good enough in his own works, good enough in his own religious practice, good enough in his own being to get to heaven on his own. A publican or a sinner, He doesn't have that problem. You mentioned him, you take him to Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he looks at you and smiles and says, man, I already knew that. What's next? When Ray Comfort does that method of soul winning that he uses, he runs a person through all 10 commandments showing them how they are short of the glory of God. You know, you start in on a deal like that, and a guy, the one thing you, for a lot of these, that you don't have to worry about is the guy saying to you, yeah, I think I'm a good person. I'd probably go to heaven because I keep the commandments. He knows better than that. Now, he may pull that stunt on you to fool you at first, but all you got to do is hit him with it one time, and he'll smile and say, yeah, you're right. You know, lie, cheat, steal, and everything else that's in the list. So most publicans, as the Bible shows you, already know they're sinners. Now, years ago, I realize our generation is a little bit different, but years ago, yeah, I mean, a long time ago, still at the bank, Daisy Tippin. You remember Jim Tippin at the ranch? Okay, Daisy was married to Wilbur Tippin, Jim's brother. Daisy Tippin helped us at home. She would look after our two oldest children when they were babies. Because we had a lot of social obligations with the bank and we'd go out and stuff like that, so she'd come over and watch the kids at night. Well, I got straightened out with the Lord, started talking a lot of Bible, and she was all excited about that, and she was going on about a brush arbor meeting one day, and I was like, Daisy, what do you mean brush arbor? I was raised Catholic, man. We had buildings. We didn't have to go meet in the woods. What's a brush arbor? So she described, you know, how they cut down the trees and built the arbor, out a pavilion outdoors, and then she said everybody would come to that meeting. Now, I'll tell you a couple of interesting things about our conversation regarding brush arbors. She said, everybody in the whole county, B County, would come up to that meeting to listen to the preacher preach. And one of the things I asked her, I said, Daisy, how did everybody in the county know to go to that meeting? I mean, how'd y'all publicize it? My question really was, how'd you get everybody to come? That was my question. I mean, because we have an air-conditioned building here and controlled sound and adequate parking, and we're only, you know, three blocks from the neighborhood, and they won't come down here when you have a special service for them. That was my question. How'd you get them all come? She goes, that's very interesting. She said, back in those days, we had the paper, but none of us knew how to read. We didn't have radios, and we didn't have telephones. And she marveled. She said, that's a strange thing. Today we have the newspaper, we have radios, and we have telephones. And yet back then, everybody knew what was going on. And today, nobody knows what's going on. But that's you just want to take that home and think about that a while. That is a profound commentary. But that's not the subject of our conversation. That's a gift. You take that home with you and you think about that. You know, when you give a child, I got to say this, when you give a child an iPhone, all you're telling them is when y'all plan to meet somewhere at 6, they're not going to be there. They're going to call you and tell you, I'm coming late. When you don't have the phone, you tell them to be there at 6. If they want to ride home, they'll be there at 6. It's a different level of communication, okay? It's the way we used to do it, in case you want to know how it's done. So that's now, okay, that parenthetical's done. Park that over there. That's another sermon. We're going to get down to the next point, and this is really the point at hand. During the brush arbor, she was telling me all about the meeting. She sang in the choir. And she said after we sang, we all had to go sit in the back of the pavilion. They had cut those logs in half and made pews out of them like that. And she said, that preacher would be up there preaching. And she said, those sinners would be sitting up there on the mourner's bench. I said, whoa, wait a minute. What is a mourner's bench? Oh, she said, child, she said, where have you been? I said, I told you, we were in the Catholic Church. Grew up with that. I said, what is a mourner's bench? She said, that's where all the sinners sat, right there under the pulpit. I said, Daisy, listen, now this is where we're going with this. Finally, how in the world did you get people to sit on that bench? If that's where all the sinners sat, how'd you get them to do that? Oh, she said, that's easy. Back then, everybody knew who the sinners were. She said, as a matter of fact, even the sinners knew who the sinners were. Okay, that's the point of the whole story. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to find a sinner. Like one preacher said, if I could find a sinner, I got a good message for him. When you're dealing with publicans and sinners, listen, most of them already know they're sinners. And that's a good thing. They need to know that. Listen, they're cussing during the meal or cussing, you know, when you're not there, and they're trying to behave when you are there. I remember one time I was playing tennis and I was with a deacon of a church. I mean, you know, they knew I was living for God. I mean, I just want everybody to know that. And I had to do that because you understand where I was in the bank. I had to draw a line, tell everybody I've changed teams. Okay? And so we're out there playing tennis and that deacon hit a bad shot right into the net and he cussed. And then he looked at me and he goes, I'm sorry. And I said, hey, you don't need to apologize to me. You need to take it up with him. Next point. They know. And listen, when you're dealing with somebody that knows he's a sinner, your work is a little bit easier. Because you don't have to talk him out of something to talk him into something. He already knows where he is. All right, and I'll show you, so where are we so far? You know, not all publicans are the worst off scouring of the world, okay? There's some fine folks. They just need Jesus. And if you invite them, a lot of times, if you invite them, they'll arrange to have lunch with you and talk to you. And it's not going to defile you to be with a sinner. Thankfully, most publicans already know that they're sinners. But here's something else. You know what publicans really need? Publicans really just need somebody to tell them about Jesus. That's what they need. Listen, the buddies they run around with, hey, buddy, I love you, and salute my friend. They don't know Jesus either. They need somebody that's outside of their clique to tell them about Jesus. Now, you know Jesus. They don't. Look in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 16. They just need somebody to tell them. They're not going to come to church. I mean, you've invited them. A lot of times, sometimes they will, but they don't always come to church. But they'll sit down with you at a meal and talk to you about it. Look here, he says in Mark chapter 2, verse 16, when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, there they are again, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you see what he did? He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. Now, he didn't go over to the Sermon on the Mount and get up a big group of a bunch of people to start teaching to and expect publicans and sinners to be in that group. They weren't there. He didn't go into the synagogue and open the book and expect a bunch of publicans and sinners to be in there. They weren't in there. The Pharisees wouldn't have them. He had to go in places where they circulated. And when they were there, he had to let them know, I have come to call you to repentance. And you know what we need to do? We need to call them to repentance. Because that's their great spiritual need. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, Paul said, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Where else are they going to hear about that? Except from somebody who already knows it. You say, well, they can watch them, the preachers on TV. Have you watched the preachers on TV? For the most part, not all. They're going to be deceived if they watch that. You say, well, they can listen to the radio. True enough, but for the most part, they're going to be deceived if they listen to that. You say, well, there are threads that go down to such and such. They can tell them. They're not going to tell them about Jesus. They're not going to be an effective witness. That responsibility to some degree falls upon us because they need somebody. And listen, we've been meeting here a lot. For the most part, we hadn't seen a whole lot of publicans and sinners showing up down here. And you know something, let me say this so that it's clear. Please understand what I'm going to say. They don't feel comfortable here. And that's not because you don't greet them friendly at the door. It's not because you don't shake their hands when we go all over the building greeting each other. You're very kind. But listen, we've got Jesus Christ. We are a body. And there are things that happen inside of here that are very good for us that have no effect whatsoever on a publican or a sinner. This really isn't the place for them. They're more comfortable in a bar or a pool hall or a movie theater. They really are. Or you know, at a club. But if you are there with them at a meal and you tell them about Jesus and they repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to start being a lot more comfortable here than they are out there. And that's really the time they need to be here. It doesn't surprise me that a lot of people don't come when we invite them to church. This isn't their hangout. I mean, if you fill up the building with a bunch of lost sinners, pretty soon we're going to be, we're not going to be doing so well. Haven't people said when they go to churches and Sunday morning preaching is only evangelistic, we got saved but we never grew? You see, you can't just make it all evangelistic. So we do our best evangelistic work with people that we know, particularly when we can sit down with them and tell them about Jesus. That's how he did it. That's how he did it. Somebody just needs to tell them about Jesus Christ. And the best way to do it is to make a friend and sit down together and talk about it. Now let me show you something else. Look in Luke chapter 7, verse 29. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 29, Jesus Christ is talking about John the Baptist and the ministry of John the Baptist. He says in verse 28, Luke chapter 7, he says in verse 28 for the context, I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now look what he says. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Now what's he saying here? He's saying, listen, when John the Baptist came and he started that thing and those publicans came over there to find out what was going on, many of them justified God and said, then we will be baptized of him too. And you know, there was repentance. That was his baptism. A baptism of repentance for Israel. And it was there to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. What's the point? Listen, once publicans hear about Jesus, some will follow him. That's the next point. Once publicans hear about Jesus, some will follow him. Matthew did. And he met him at a meal. I mean, he was in his business. He was at the receipt of customs. He said, follow me. And they had a big feast at the house. And I'm sure there were some other men that were affected by that. Zacchaeus, they went down to the house and had some time together. Zacchaeus turned around, started following Jesus Christ. And you know something? You're going to meet people who will follow Jesus Christ too. If you tell them. You know, we can be Nicodemuses if you want to. We could be secret disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ if we want to. In other words, you and I may be the only ones that know you and I are saved, and everybody else out there may wonder because we're not bold enough to tell them about Jesus. You can do that if you want to. But what you're seeing in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is He was the same inside the synagogue as He was outside the synagogue. He was the same everywhere He went. He did not change like a chameleon when He got into the company of other people who were publicans and sinners. He simply used who He was as an influence in their lives, and some turned. They turned for John the Baptist and they turned for Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when a publican receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? He becomes a godly man. And after a while, if he'll stay under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, whatever he was before is not what he is now. Haven't you changed? Aren't you thankful, I tell you I am, that you're not now today what you were before you got saved? Boy, am I ever thankful about that. I really, really am. And let me show you one other thing about these publicans. I think is best of all, look in Luke chapter 15. I think one of the best things of all about this whole discourse is this. If a publican will repent and turn to Jesus, I realize in the Gospels he's talking about following them, but we know about salvation is to receive Jesus Christ, to be saved. Notice this in Luke chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. There they are again. For to hear him and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The best thing of all is when they turn to Jesus, Jesus will receive them. In other words, no more pursuit on what do I need to do to get to heaven. It's a realization Jesus Christ has already done it. When they repent, Jesus says, and I'll receive them. Years ago, there was a little girl. She'd gone to Sunday school one day. Her mother didn't go with her. She was a bus kid. And she came home. Her mother knew some things about the Bible, but like so many others, wouldn't go to church. And she came to her mother, and she said, how was Sunday school? She said, it's wonderful, Mom. It's just wonderful. And she said, and I found out that my name is in the Bible. She goes, listen, she said, I know that you don't see me in church often, and so you may not think that I know some things about the Bible. I know a lot more about the Bible than you think I know. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. Your name is not in the Bible. She said, no, Mom, my name is in the Bible. I heard it today at church. She goes, daughter, your name is not in the Bible. She said, no, it is. Her mother said, sweetheart, Edith is not in the Bible. She said, it is too. I heard my Sunday school teacher say it. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And she said, I'm glad to know that Jesus receives me. May I tell you something? Without Jesus, they have no hope in their eternity. And there are all kinds of folks involved in our government here, city government. All kinds of folks involved in business here. All kinds of folks that are involved in life here. All kinds of folks in our neighborhoods. A bunch of publicans and sinners. A lot of them. Not all, of course. A lot of them. You know what they need? They need somebody that'll tell them about Jesus, and they need to know that if they would turn to Jesus, Jesus will receive them. They need to know that. Listen, they have no hope in their eternity if they don't know Jesus Christ. You and I know that. And given some of the things that some folks have done in any community, ours is no exception, they may go to sleep at night thinking, and Jesus will never have anything to do with me. Have you ever dealt with a person who said, I believe what you're saying, but I can't possibly receive him because I can't believe that Jesus Christ would take a sinner like me? You ever had anybody say that? I have too. And they need to know he's not that kind of God. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. May I tell you something? I was talking, I think it was to Brother Jim Benny. And he was talking about the chaplain that was in death row that was dealing with some of the Nazi criminals from the Nazi war crimes. There's a book written about it. I hadn't read the book. Some of those guys got saved and actually have a very good testimony. May I tell you something? If he's willing to save men who were responsible for the execution of millions of his chosen people, he'll save anybody. And they need to know that. He receiveth sinners. That's a good thing. But the question is, who's going to tell them? How are they going to know? Well, I think if Jesus Christ could be a friend of publicans and sinners, so could we. I believe that's a good thing. And that we shouldn't be ashamed to turn the conversation at an appropriate time to things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they need. And we don't have to worry about somebody saying, well, did you see him having lunch with old so-and-so the other day? That's okay. That's what they said about your Savior. It's okay if they say that about you. You know, you and I need to realize in order to have an effective ministry with sinners, we've got to converse with them about the Lord. And a good way to do this is to be a friend and then sit down with them over a meal and tell them about Jesus Christ. That works. It worked for the Lord. I could give you a lot of illustrations where that has worked in other people's lives. I've seen it work in my life. That's a good thing to do. Now, he said there that harlots and publicans go into the kingdom of God for you. I wouldn't recommend if you're a man to go to lunch with a harlot. I think you might have a little difficulty when they said something about you behind your back that way. Okay. In other words, use some discretion when ministering to the lost. But don't neglect to minister. You've got a great opportunity. Jesus did. It worked for Matthew. It worked for Zacchaeus. I wonder if there's a Matthew and a Zacchaeus in your life. Somebody that you know that could turn like that. The real question after all of this, it's been fun to talk about, we've seen lots of Bible. Maybe you learned a lot more about publicans tonight than you ever knew. But the question really at the end of all this is, what are you going to do? Will somebody be able to be brought to your mind that you will actually make an effort to see? Larry Theophanopoulos, living in Canada, said, pray for Earl and Doris Hannah. They're across our back lawn here, across that fence. And they did just this. Took them pies and invited them over for supper. Earl got saved, Doris got saved. Earl died, and Larry buried him. I happened to be up there in Canada one time when Doris was there, faithfully attending church. A sinner who had turned to Jesus Christ in repentance. Why? Because somebody who knew Jesus decided it was okay to make a friend out of a sinner in order to bring him to Jesus Christ. How about you? Would you do a thing like that? Let's pray. Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. It's a very, very effective thing that we've seen in the Scripture. And we know we're dealing in a society that's not so open to so many of the ways that we used to be able to talk to them about the Lord. But I believe they'd be open to this. It seemed to work back in your day. And I pray that it will work in our day. Father, wherever this is, can it be appropriately applied in the lives of those that have gathered here tonight, may it be so done. May we learn and realize that truly the eternal life of some folks that we know may depend simply upon us following the guidance and leadership of our own Savior Jesus Christ in the very method, one of the methods that He used in dealing with people while He was here. God, help us that we may do these things to please You, for we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.